You're listening to the General Geekery Podcast.
Pump up the jam, pump it up, while your feet are stumping. And the jam is pumping, look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more, get the party going on the dance floor. See, cause that's where the party's at, and you find out if you do that.
Welcome to the General Geekery Podcast. I'm your host, Classic, and I want to greet you all with a bi-week round on Wheat Ninny Ball.
Yes!
And I'm glad to be here, honored to be here, hosting the show this week with my fellow co-host. You know him from formerly of Underscoop Fired podcast and website, and the Chap Report, or the Chap Rapport, as I like to call it. Corey Chapman is in the house.
Classic! It's fantastic to be here, but hold on. Let's pump the brakes for a second here. Were we not invited to join the General Geekery Podcast as guests?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Why are we? Did we take it over?
We showed up to a party, and they gave us Maitre D jackets and, like, trays and said, all right, guys, just crab cakes all around and, you know, and cocktail franks all
around. And we had one 15-minute break at 10:30.
Yeah, a little smoke break.
You know, quick smoke break. Yeah, exactly, quick smoke break. This is, they really flipped the scripts on us here, and I don't even know if we should invite them onto their own show. Because right now, I can hit a mute button, you've got a lot of producer skills, I have a lot of
sound
producer
effects
skills.
In here, some fart noises.
All we need is a hit a mute button. I can hit a record on my end. We could do an entire Chap Rapport or a Cold Slither redo, and these guys can just put it on their feet, for God's sake. What are we doing hosting the show?
Because then they don't do any work, and you know, and it comes That's out, true. They get the credit. Their names are on the freaking marquee. So
Here's what I think. Here's my guess. I think they know that we are both dominant – when I say this, I don't mean this in any weird way, but like when we podcast, we tend to hog the mic, right? So if they put us in charge of being the host and we can kind of ask questions and shoot things back to them, they can have some mic time. But we're not going to do that. We're just going to keep filibustering for an hour. They can laugh in the background all they want, but they have not been formally invited to join us yet.
Well, you know, in any case, welcome to episode 11 or 12.
11.
Welcome to episode 11.789. Yes, I like the decimal.
We now return to your regular scheduled program, already in progress.
Right. Welcome to episode 11.pi of the General Geekery Podcast. Of course, you know us. You've been hearing from us, but let's bring it over to the actual guys that run the show. Brian.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, man. That 3 minutes was probably the best 3 minutes of our podcast ever. So,
thank you for joining us on episode 12 of General Geekery. You can find us on. Okay, no, I'm sorry. We were going to keep shooting the show. Okay, go ahead.
Well, now that we've been completely outshined.
Yeah, totally, right?
I think, you know, it's not a bad idea. You guys take the show. I'll just laugh.
I think this was a big trick. I think they wanted the week off.
Yeah.
They're trying to adhere to a schedule, and they want to be regular for their loyal listeners. Oh, we got a new show coming out next week. We get Classic on. We'll get Corey on. And then maybe they just weren't feeling the vibes. Like,
I felt the threat because we were invited to this show, and I haven't worked on a custom figure in – well, actually, I've never worked on a custom figure. I don't know if you do customs, but I was like, what the hell are we going to talk about? We don't do any customs. Yeah, but I'm actually sitting there tweaking my fingers right now, trying to see if I can put wings on the Green Goblin. I'll be like, oh, I've got a custom that I've been working on for 3 hours. Nope, nothing. I can't.
Wait,
I can't.
You? What about me? I am a master of none. I have no specialty in the geekery world. I like to dabble here and there, and then I say, okay, guys, let's do this show. Yeah, what's the topic? I'm just going to free flow tonight. I'm like, what?
Yes.
You got to give me something to talk about.
I know why I had
something into my Cosby there.
you know what shocks me is how many future and potential guests we'll get that will ask us ahead of time, oh, do you have a topic in mind?
Nope.
No. Fuck no, we don't. We do every episode radically unprepared. So how in God's name,
those are the best shows.
Give guidance to anybody else.
JD, I've
we bring
said
laziness
100 times.
To an art form. I am the Da Vinci of laziness.
No. You say that, but under Scoop Fire, we ended up with 150 episodes, and we had a lot of great themed episodes that we prepared, that we formatted, we did all that. My favorite ones to go back to and listen, and my favorite ones that I hear from. We used to hear and get feedback from were the ones that we just turned the mics on and said, let's just have some fun and talk. So I'm just busting your balls about not having a topic. Between the four of us, we probably could talk for 5 hours and then go, oh, we didn't have a topic, did we? Okay, we're going to have to break this into 10 shows.
And the poor bastard that's hearing this thing is going to go, those guys didn't talk about anything, but I stuck around for 5 hours.
The Seinfeld Chronicle.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, that's pretty much all 16 of our listeners. I'm sure they get to the end of every episode.
16? Did we get two new ones?
What did we do? But you know what? I bet you most of those episodes fly by, and someone says, geez, that was the quickest hour of my day.
Yeah.
If we could ever do a show that was only an hour long, I think Brian's wife would keel over out of shock.
I would. Yeah.
Our first episode was only supposed to be like an hour and a half, and I think it was three.
It's three and a half, I think.
Yeah, and every now and then he tells me, oh, it's just going to be a short show. We have one thing to talk about. I'm like, whatever. And then he gets mad, but that's the reality. It's a short show.
You just keep free-flowing, right? And if you don't set a timer, next thing you know, it's mid.
Yeah, it's like when you say, oh, I have to run to Walmart. I'll be back in half an hour, and more than an hour and a half later, you're like, well, I had to stop at this store and that store, and, well, shit, there was traffic, so.
Right.
Yeah, that's how when I passed by Home Depot on the way back, and I'm like, let me just pick up a few tools. I'm not working on any projects, but I just want some tools, and I come through the door with all kinds of, like, you know, just T-squares and screws and widgets and bolts and stuff, and you know, she's like, what are you working on? Oh, I just wanted these.
Just in case.
I might fix something. Yeah.
Classic. You went out for, electrical tape. That was all you were supposed to come home with.
Right.
But you got all those tools now.
Right. Preparation is key.
Yes.
I do the same thing when I go get paint for customs. It's like, I need one color. I need one thing of black. It's a couple of bucks for one thing of black, and I come out with $50 worth of paint.
That is so funny that you say that, because today, after work, I went to the game store to get my paint, and with the loot that I bought, I went up to the register, and I told the guy, I said, I came in here for two bottles of paint. I came out with a can of primer, a container of sculpting stuff, and 9 bottles of paint. What the hell? He thought that was hilarious. I went in to spend $8 in paint, and I came out $50 poorer. But because there was this paint for the just-in-case custom, and then there's that one that's like, well, I may use that at some point, or I may not. Or it may just become, or it could end just becoming a paint that never gets put on the figure itself. It just ends up getting mixed and used to create all kinds of shades. And it never ends up on a custom straight out of the bottle. I literally went in for I needed orange paint, and I needed gray paint and came out with like two different blues, three different grays. I had a green and, what do they call it? Metallic. And I think it was metallic. What? It was like a metallic base coat. Like basically it's clear-ish, but whatever you put it on, it's going to end up giving it a metallic sheen.
Shoot me a picture of that. I need to know what that is. That sounds awesome.
Okay. It's from some game company it's from some paint company I never saw, but it's, I asked the guy, how's it work? He's like, he said, you'll get mixed results, so.
I was wondering about that.
But, it's interesting to be a guest on General Geekery. What do you guys normally talk about?
I don't know. What do you talk about on a podcast?
Got anything that you want to throw in the Sharkticon pit?
I wasn't sure if we were going there or not. I should have asked this before we started the call if we could talk politics at all.
No politics.
Actually, I don't even know if it's called politics. It's just called Halloween. Life. Halloween is going to last 4 years. We've just witnessed history where Halloween started on October 31st of this year, and it's going to last for four more years.
Quite possibly. I will agree with that.
Cheap plug, if we do get into this. I did record a Chap Report podcast last night with a special guest, and it was all about the 2016 election, and it was one of those situations where, and I had this conversation with one of our mutual friends offline about one of the reasons why Under Scoop Fire turned into the Chap Report. It wasn't we wanted to not do it anymore, but we wanted to be able to. I wanted to be able to have other topics, and you couldn't really go this week on Under Scoop Fire. The new Rogue One trailer and debating the election, because if you remember early on when we went off off script a little bit, had some interviews, and then we talked to DDP, we did a fitness show. The masses were not happy with those changes.
Well, okay, first you had George the Animal Steel on, and that was great. And then you had Diamond Dallas Page on. And all he wanted to talk about was his freaking Yoda, or
EDP yoga.
Yeah, I was gonna say, was it yoga or was it Zumba or something? No, it was like yoga. And it was just, you get this great conversation with the animal where he tells all these stories about his days in wrestling and all these crazy adventures he had, and then DDP comes on and he's just like, hey. By my workout tapes.
Just pimping them. But what happened was we tried to go off of, skirt away a little bit from our normal topics and our nerdisms, and people just did not like it. So, again, going back to the Chat Report, so far all I've talked about on my few episodes is still pop culture and things like that, but being able to do a show like we did last night, a serious, very few jokes in it at all, pretty dry and raw, I'm proud of that kind of work. So,
well, I listened to that episode today, and that was good stuff. I don't know. I'm reluctant to get into the political stuff
we agreed a long time ago that politics and religion were off the table as topics.
And it's simply because there's a lot of, you go on internet forums and internet chat rooms and Facebook groups and whatever, and a lot of times that's their platform is, don't bring these things up because they're such hot button issues that, I mean, there's countries that literally go to war over these things. So I am
there are people that they use podcasts to escape from those things too. So you don't want to just bring those problems back to the forefront. Like, you know, I turn on General Geekery. Mm-hmm. I want to hear these guys talk about geek stuff, and all of a sudden they're bringing up, you know, the Democrats and Republicans again. I turned off CNN for this shit.
Right.
So I'm not here to talk about it because to me it'll be, for me anyway, it'll be a rehash of what I said last night. But I will play the other side to that classic, and I would say the more podcasts these guys do, the bigger audience that they get. Now, granted, they may not want to hear that particular political one side or the other, but I enjoy as podcasters become a part of my life. So, you know, I've never met Mark Maron. I've never met Bill Simmons. But I kind of want to know a little bit more about them behind the interviews, behind the sports talk. So, you know, like I said, for me last night, I never discussed politics with really anybody out there because I didn't want to be labeled and I also didn't want to, you know, get anybody fired up. But there was a lot of...
But I mean
in general, right? And so last night it was just cathartic to be able to talk about it. And whether we agree on politics, you got to see, you know, behind the veil a little bit. Oh, that's where he comes from. That's where his beliefs are. So on and so forth. I'm not saying it belongs on General Geekery. Not saying it belongs on Under Scoop Fire or the Chap Report. It was just, you know, there's another piece of the puzzle to me that my listeners are going to know about. And if that turns folks off, God bless. I don't really care. So we really got to shift gears though, because this we're bringing it down.
Way to bring down the room, there, Chappy.
Did I really bring down the room?
Because you're that's an eclectic cuss.
You're the one who brought in the politics, my friend. That's just a cheap plug.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's what we'll do. If we don't have anything going on right now, I'm gonna jump to the trending. What's trending right now on Facebook? Because I've got Facebook up, and let's start with that new International Rogue One trailer. Hello.
Oh God. You know what? It's funny because on this show, since we started, we've never actually talked about the Rogue One trailers because whenever one comes out or when there's a TV spot or whatever, we don't ever have a show on the docket. And
that's a good point.
So in between there, I think, well, on the next show we should talk about that, and then we don't. So, hey, that's good.
Lined up.
I saw that, and now I mentioned on the show before, Rogue One is the Star Wars movie that I had been waiting for 20 years for them to make. And until Disney's acquisition of Lucasfilm, I didn't think it would ever happen because George Lucas wasn't going to make a movie about how the Rebellion stole the plans of the Death Star. And there's been a few video games over the years that have done it, and there's been comic books that have done it. None of them I ever found real satisfying because they never read or played like an official story. They always played like they were fan fiction. Like whoever wrote this, this is how they would do it. But it never seemed like anything that fit with the movies. And but see, I'm a total nerd for the Rebellion. Brian's a total nerd for the Sith. Even if there was no other characters involved, if it was just about the Sith, Brian would still be into it.
Oh yeah.
Where I'm crazy for the Rebellion. So, first of all, I'm excited that there's another movie set in the same time frame. For the same reason why I get excited about the TV show Star Wars Rebels. So, I love the fact that they have another movie set there, and that this one takes place literally right before episode 4. So they've matched the aesthetic and they matched the look. But this is the first time I feel like even if I happen to maybe not agree with all the story points, although I think I'll be okay with all of it. Even if I don't, this is the first time it's going to feel like it's a legitimate telling of this story as opposed to what they've done in the expanded universe in the past, which just I never found satisfying. So I mean, I was always excited about the prequels coming out. It's, you know, in that hype, especially up to going up to episode one. And then in between the movies, see, I'm a prequel fan. I like the movies. They're not flawless, but, you know, I mean, they're, you know, they have issues. But I like those movies. But none of them could ever get me excited as this one. And I see this international trailer, and I'm just like, this movie's gorgeous.
Yeah, and not only that, it, like you said, it's telling that story that, you know, I guess I wondered about, you know, forever. You know, are they ever going to tell that? And just to be able to have a cast that we've never seen before in Star Wars, right? I mean, there's this middle generation. Yes, there's that link with Darth being in it. I want to prepare super nerdy fans the same way I called, and I think most of us called, the Suicide Squad Joker stuff. The yeah. people that see Darth in the movie, I don't have any inside knowledge, but please be prepared that it'll probably be less screen time than the Joker was in Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
this isn't, seen it all.
Yeah, this isn't his movie. Yeah, this is not his movie, and I felt the marketing for Suicide Squad put him in that to entice everyone, you know, to be even more excited about it, knowing full well there was going to be backlash when, oh, he's only in 10 minutes or whatever. And the
Star, you know what?
And, go ahead.
Let me blow your mind with something real quick. Okay, right. Now, the first Star Wars movie is roughly 2 hours long. I think it's about 2 hours and 10 minutes long. And if you add up Darth Vader's entire screen time throughout that movie, believe it or not, it's just over 12 minutes.
Sure.
He is only in about 12 minutes of the movie. And
he has a presence in that movie.
Right. Right. He's got, like, he's huge. He's there at the beginning, and he's there until the end, and we see him throughout, and, you know, he kills his old master, and we see him basically answering to nobody in the Empire. I mean, he butts heads with Tarkin a little bit, but he doesn't answer to him. But throughout that movie, I don't think people realize that even though his presence was overwhelming, his screen time wasn't that much. And I very much expect that in Rogue One, he might have about 10 minutes of screen time. But I also expect that in that 10 minutes, he is going to have a significant presence. Okay, what little I've read that you could consider spoilers, basically, this guy that's in charge of the Death Star project, Director Krennic, he is basically, he does not answer to Vader, but they said, and the people behind the movie have said, even when Vader's not on screen, his presence will be felt. Krennic is going to be nervous about him. All these junior Imperial officers that we see. I mean, we saw what he did to the, you know, to the officers in The Empire Strikes Back. I mean, every time, let's see, Captain Nita and Admiral Ozzel, they, you know, he killed them both for failure. Had he not been so dejected after his grasp on, after he lost his grasp on Luke at Cloud City, he may have killed Admiral Piet too. But instead, he was just so shocked by what happened after he told Luke the news, and that he was, well, he himself kind of failed. That's the only reason Piet got away. So I do expect that his presence is going to be huge, even if his screen time isn't. But the fact is, a lot of people are just going to be excited to see him again. I mean, and I do believe he's going to have a scene or two where he is kicking some ass. I do believe we're going to have a scene where he's going to go through and he is going to wreck a rebel squad or two.
I'm really hoping he does kill some rebels, because looking at that original trilogy, he's probably killed more subordinates than he's killed rebels.
Exactly.
In those first three movies.
You know what? That's funny.
With the exception of Alderaan, because he didn't pull the trigger on Alderaan, but you know, that's kind of on-screen killings and not like collateral damage. And I like the fact that I think someone said that some report about most on-screen deaths was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, we were just talking. My wife and I were just talking about that.
But
that's horseshit.
Seems to forget that Alderaan blew up before our very eyes, and that was a whole planet full of people.
And see, this movie, here's the thing, it's very strange that they're not marketing it more, okay? From the first teaser trailer of Rogue One, we saw Mon Mothma. Now, here's the thing about Mon Mothma. The actress playing her is the same actress that played her in Revenge of the Sith. Now, in Revenge of the Sith, most of those scenes with her were cut. You can still see her in the movie, but all of her speaking role, all of her lines were cut from the movie. But I like that they established the same continuity and they got the same actors back to play this character 20 years after that. And the thing they're not playing up, though, is that Jimmy Smits is back as Bail Organa. Tarkin is going to be in this movie. We don't know who's playing him. I have a feeling they probably got back the same guy that played Tarkin in that one scene in Revenge of the Sith. But they haven't said anything. And there's at least one other character from the original trilogy that is going to be in this movie as well. And the only one that we've seen, we've seen Mon Mothma and Vader, but I'm very surprised that they have not showed us anywhere in any of the trailers and any of the TV spots, where is Tarkin? Where is Bail Organa? Because that book that's coming out this week, Catalyst, the Rogue One story, it's basically, it tells a little bit of background on some of the characters you're going to see in Rogue One. And we know for a fact that Tarkin plays a big part in that. I just can't believe we haven't seen him in any of the marketing for this movie. I mean, he's going to be there. I mean, basically, he oversaw the Death Star project almost from the beginning. But I don't know. It blows my mind that he hasn't been in any of the marketing so far.
Not hyping up Jimmy Smits being in this because he was part of the prequel trilogy is kind of like their way of distancing themselves a little bit from the prequel trilogy.
But he's gonna they're show up not. Yeah. But see, here's the thing, is they're not doing that. And because after Disney bought Lucasfilm and they said there'd be Episode 7, a lot of the hype and a lot of the reason why I think people tried to a lot of people, especially of our generation, in our age group, were saying, oh, they're going to forget about the prequels. You know what? If they were truly trying to forget about the prequels, they would not have gotten Genevieve O'Reilly and Jimmy Smits and supposedly Wayne Pilgrim back to resume the... If they were truly trying to distance themselves... I don't think there'd be any of this. And
I'm not saying in general. I'm just saying, like, in terms of marketing, you know, that's probably a different mindset when you're trying to sell the movie to people.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know, the casual Star Wars. Hey, Star Wars is out. I'm going to check it. It's like, oh, by the way, these guys from the prequels are, oh, like, crap. I didn't like the prequels. I'm not going. And then it kind of affects your ticket sales.
Yeah, I suppose that's a good point.
Yeah, being the marketer's advocate, because, you know, people that marketing don't think is... you know, soundly as you or I about that, all they do is think about selling tickets.
I mean, I'm aware that within our generation, I am in
the minority.
I am in. I am kind of one of the niche viewers where I do like the prequels. I enjoy them a lot. Like I said, they have problems, acting being one of them, dialogue being another one, but, well, the original trilogy has a few problems there too, but, I'm a fan, but at the same time, I can kind of see where the perception would come in where, oh, they're forgetting about the prequels, but I think it's more like they're just not putting anything else out that's set anywhere near that time frame.
Yeah.
So it's not, but I mean, you can see in the Rogue One trailer, you can definitely see a few influences. I mean, that Imperial droid that Alan Tudyk is playing, that guy says, he says super battle droid to me all the way through. I mean, that his whole design definitely looks like an evolution of some of those droids that we saw in the prequels. There's at least some influence there. And then that rebel ship, that U-Wing, man, something about that ship just screams to me like that could have been off-screen in Revenge of the Sith, too. Like, that ship to me just looks like it's more from an earlier time than it is.
You would think it would have to be because it's the Rebellion. They don't have a lot of money to finance stuff. They got to get all their equipment second hand at best. You know, it's probably third hand at that.
So exactly.
You know, that's probably that ship's older than dirt.
And then, you know, the complaints, oh, where is it in the original trilogy? Well, here's the thing. First of all, it's a troop lander. That's what it is. It's doing the same thing the helicopters did in Vietnam. It's flying in, it's letting the troops off, and it's flying away. They didn't need it in the original trilogy. Think of all the planets that we saw in the original trilogy. Other than Endor, where the hell would they have used that? And with Endor, they're not going to use it because the entire planet's covered in trees. But it's kind of one of the, or the cynical part of me thinks, or they all get destroyed. So, you know, but
the only thing, not to cut you off, JD, the only thing that, and I'm okay with it. I've moved past it for, you know, the continuity part of it, but I always said, and I remember having this conversation with Googs, when the prequels were going to come out and we got to see these sweet design of the stormtroopers and the different vehicles and things like that. I said, Googs, explain to me, because he's deep. He read all the fan fiction stuff. He read all the novels in the 80s. I said, explain to me how if we had 4, 5, and 6, and we had some pretty primitive vehicles and pretty shoddy-looking stormtroopers, and I get it, that was what we had in the 70s and 80s, but storytelling-wise, how could you go back in time and have some kick-ass ships.
It's
and
some easy.
Cool asteroids. Well, you know, he gave us that whole thing. But there is an understanding there that Rogue One should try to be consistent if it's on the heels of A New Hope, right? I'm excited about the design of these new troopers and things like that. But it is a good question to say, well, where were they? Where were these cool-ass troopers in A New Hope?
Well, I can explain that one.
Go for it.
The black armored, the death troopers, as they're calling them, those are Director Krennic's own troops. They're his own cadre of personnel. They're not, they are Imperial death troopers, but they answer directly to Director Krennic. So
he puts a special order in.
When they're basically, they're because the Emperor's got his royal guards, who were former Senate guards when the Republic was active. Then they switched to the Red Robes just before the Sith destroyed the Republic. The Death Troopers, they're Krennic's own guys. So as for the other guys, the guys on Scarif, the I think they're calling them the Shore Troopers.
Sure.
I can't really explain that one unless they were simply assigned to tropical-type planets which we never saw otherwise. So I know that's sort of a cop out because it kind of is, but
it ties into how the military does things now. You know, you got your typical, you know, Army Greens, but you know, like if you're on sand or you're in the desert, you're going to wear a different color. If you're in the forest, you're a ranger or the camouflage, you're going to wear a different color. You know, you kind of get the same feel of that. I mean, think about A New Hope or even Empire. Most of the stormtroopers were on the Death Star, maybe on
exactly.
Tatooine. But this, like, then, you only saw them in one environment. And even then, when they were on a Tatooine, they had like different gear on because they were in, you know, a sandy area. And then
exactly, and then
go to Jedi. They had
after that, in The Empire Strikes Back, you do see stormtroopers wearing the cold weather gear.
Yeah.
But you're right. Other than that, outside of that environment, you didn't see any specialty people, troopers, because you just really didn't need to. Although, and it's a nitpick of mine, because in Revenge of the Sith, when you go to Kashyyyk, what do you see? You see a bunch of clone troopers wearing the camouflage armor.
Yeah.
I admit, part of me wishes that all those changes that they made for the special editions, none of which I have a problem with, by the way. I do kind of wish that we could have seen a couple of those biker scouts wearing camouflage. But that's just a nitpick of mine.
It was a nitpick of mine to make that my very first Star Wars custom was a camouflage scout trooper.
That's funny. Well, see, I like that look for it. And honestly, you know, because in Episode 2, you see the clone troopers, and the only variations you see on them are the color striping for the officers. And then when Revenge of the Sith comes around, you got all these clone troopers with all this crazy armor. You know, they got all these weird color formations. You got these different helmet designs. You got this wildly different gear. And you actually don't see all that many of the plain, shiny white stormtrooper style clones, because you got all these specific units that have all these, you know, all these varied looks. And then when you see the stormtroopers later on, it's like they got rid of all that individuality, which is okay and it's understandable, but that's the only way I can cop out the answer to myself is why Andor didn't have any specialty looking troopers. Was, I guess, at that point, after, you know, 20-some years of the Empire running shit, I guess they were just confident enough that we're going to, you know, we're going to occupy Endor, we're going to crush the rebellion, and we don't need specialty troopers, and we don't need the subtlety of camouflage.
Hashtag occupy Endor. It is a tactical failure for them to go on Endor and not know that there were Ewoks there.
Well, here's the thing. They knew the Ewoks were there, but they had dismissed them as non-threatening and just... And I think the Empire kind of assumed that they were just going to be reclusive and yeah, that they wouldn't get in the way. And if they did get in the way, well, that's what we have AT-ST walkers for, just squish them.
Yeah, the Ewoks were... They were obviously motivated by their golden god C-3PO. So
I don't know, because I've wondered that. If the Rebellion hadn't talked the Ewoks into joining the cause, would they have gotten involved, or would they have stayed out of the way? I don't know. After 30-some-odd years, that scene where the Ewoks are worshipping C-3PO still cracks me up. And he is just enough of an arrogant douche to enjoy it. I don't know. I'm what in particular about the Rogue One trailer, not the details wise, but what do you guys want to see from it? Like, if you, I mean, because your knowledge about it might be kind of limited only because you only know, maybe you only know what they've seen showed in the trailers, but what have you seen in the trailers that you're looking forward to seeing the most on the big screen? And maybe a complete scene as opposed to a clip here or there.
Felicity Jones.
I can agree with that.
I just dig her, man. I just dig her. And you know, I don't have like any particular scene or I just feel it's got the look of a gritty Ocean's 11, Mission Impossible type movie that I hope doesn't really follow your standard Star Wars A to B to C story. I really hope that Disney looked at the first cut of this and said, this is a little different than what we're used to, but we're going to go with it. And that's the same hope I have for the Han Solo spinoff. You know, I don't mind that episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, have to be cookie cutter, and we have to be able to have plush toys and T-shirts and things like that. These offshoot films, I want them to be allowed to breathe and allowed to be a little dirty and not have a Jar Jar Binks in it and not have too much comic relief and just be, a space story. Just, you know, it says a Star Wars story, and I have hope in that, and that's really what I want to see in this movie.
And
so asking about the trailers, I haven't seen anything in it that there's a little that's gonna make me laugh in the movie. I've seen nothing to that, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, this just seems like a very dark movie as far as like there's stuff to sell toys, but there's not stuff for kids to be like, oh, yeah, that's cutesy, which I actually am kind of excited about. This does seem, not only does it seem like a heist movie, this seems like a real war movie. In terms of, you know, all you see is our action, battle, and like spy stuff, espionage stuff. And, you know, I think what I like about this film, too, are the characters in terms of, you know, these are all new characters, and they have like a variety of different things. I'm curious about, like, you know, kind of which ones have connections to the Force in which ways, and I haven't really, you know, got too familiar with them yet, so I'm, you know, looking to see that play out on screen. I know, and also, my man Mads Mikkelsen, he's playing Jin's father. We just saw him in Doctor Strange, and of course, No Casino Royale. He was in that too.
Yep.
He's usually menacing, but in this case, he just plays like a pivotal role as Jin's father. But you know, kind of just that connection between him, the Death Star, and like getting that, you know, and the plans, and like, you know, kind of just seeing all that thread together. Is that happen early in the big picture, or like halfway through, or at the end, or is there going to be like a Rogue One sequel? You know, so that's kind of the curiosity I have, because for most people, this is kind of that holdover movie before Episode 8. But, I mean, really, we've got a whole freaking year to wait for Episode 8. So I think, you know, this will keep people talking until then.
Classic. Let's just be happy we're getting a Star Wars movie every year.
Yes.
No, I'll say this to your counterpoint. I don't want to ever see these characters again. In Rogue One, I want this to be a one and done. I don't want. No. Hear me out.
No, I was going to say no. I don't think you have to worry about it.
Well,
that's
the hope. But we know this is not going to do Episode 7 box office numbers. Disney said it. They're lowering the expectations because this is not bringing back Han Solo. This is a little tiny piece of Darth Vader. So we're not looking to break box office records this December with this film. My worry is that it does exceed expectations, and they go, we're getting the band back together, and we're making Rogue 2. See what I did there? And I don't want them to have to do that. I want them to stay on the target and say, we have no plans for another movie. This is the story we're wedging in before A New Hope, and it's it. And if they want to 2 years from now go, you know, we should probably do a Felicity Jones character spinoff, maybe before, maybe a little backstory. Go ahead, but I don't need a sequel to Rogue One. I want it to end, and then we know that, you know, Episode 4 picks up, and we've, you know, we filled in that gap right there. So my concern is that they do better than they're expected to do, and then Disney goes, well, geez, we could probably do another one, and then kind of screw with, you know, the original plan. But who knows? Who knows what they're going to do?
I want to say, Chappie, this is what, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, Chappie's like the quintessential podcast host. We're talking about Star Wars, and he squeezes in there two Star Wars phrases, stay on target, yep, and wedge. And I'm like, ah, a little creativity there.
Thank you for catching that. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was actually trying to decide if the stay on target was intentional or
accidental.
Just, yeah.
The bottom line, guys, you'll never know. Yes. I won't tell you.
Brian.
Yes.
So, what are you looking forward to the most besides the Death Troopers?
The Death Troopers.
All right then.
I'm looking forward to seeing something that. I'm a big continuity guy. I am a huge fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, just because I am a huge fan of all those characters, grew up with them, and I like seeing stuff tied together. And I think this is the prequel that we deserved but didn't get. You know, it's JD's a big fan of the prequels. I can sit and watch him. If I'm stuck on a plane for 36 hours, that's fine. I'll sit and watch the prequels. I don't go out of my way to watch the prequels. The Jar Jar Binks just pisses me off. And I hated the whole fact that they introduced this kick-ass villain, new kick-ass villain, in each of the movies, and then promptly killed him off before developing him. You know, but that's just kind of my, you know, like JD says, this is the problems. So those are the problems that I had with prequels. But I mean, some of these guys that are with the Rebellion, I mean, they look like Clone War veterans, you know, they look like people that have fought in the Clone Wars, either probably, you know, on the side of the Republic. And I'm interested to see the backstory of some of these guys, you know, like the Forrest Whitaker. He's like, what is the story behind all the prosthetic limbs and all these weapons that these guys got? And
I don't know about the prosthetic limbs. The little bit that we know about his character, he was from the Clone Wars. You can see the beginning of his career as a revolutionary in the Clone Wars. There's a 4-part story arc set on the planet Onderon, where in George Lucas's mind, when they conceived that storyline, and he created Saw Gerrera, which is who Forrest Whitaker's playing, in his mind, he said, unofficially, Onderon is pretty much where the seed was planted for the Rebellion to happen much, much later. The Republic sends Captain Rex, the captain of the 501st Clone Trooper Legion, and Anakin Skywalker, his Padawan, and Obi-Wan, and they send these people to Onderon. You know, they send this little squad to Onderon to help the residents there learn some counterinsurgency and some guerrilla warfare. Teach them to fight back, to push back against the Separatists and the battle droids. So that's what's funny about this is you get Anakin and he goes and he helps instruct them. And then later he's going to become Vader and we're going to see Saw Gerrera in Rogue One and we're going to realize that for 20 straight years this guy's life has been nothing but war. Now, the story behind the prosthetic limbs and everything, I don't know, because when it ends in the Clone Wars, they've just liberated the planet of Onderon, and that's the last we saw of him until here. So clearly, this guy's seen some fucked up things. Like, he's just, man, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with him. I remember when this was announced, when the cast was announced, and they said Forrest Whitaker, I'm like, you know, he's done other war movies. So I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see him play in a war movie that's actually set in the galaxy far, far away. And then when we saw him, I'm telling you right now, all the dialogue that we've seen in the trailers, his is my favorite. In that first trailer, when he says, what will you do when they break you? If you continue to fight, what will you become? And then in that last trailer that we saw, not the international one from today, but the one from last month that we saw, when he says, save the rebellion, save the dream. I'm not going to lie. I got tears in my eyes. I'm like, that is such, I want a t-shirt that says that. Save the rebellion, save the dream. That is just so powerful. And to have anybody else deliver that line might have been cheesy. But no, coming from Forrest Whitaker, hell yes. I want the thoughts of all you guys on the Han Solo spinoff. What do you guys think? Your initial thoughts and what you want to see from it.
Too early to tell.
I was going to agree with Classic. I don't have – it's a blank slate to me. I trust – you know, we talked about this when Disney bought Lucasfilm. There's so much money involved. My guess is they're not going to screw this type of stuff up and lose the trust of all those Star Wars fans. So I believe in whatever they want to do. Whatever story they want to tell, I'm going to go see it. I'm not going to be like, I wish they did this. Or just give me a good story as something that character would end up being Harrison Ford, and I'm in.
Okay. I'm taking the temperature because you know what I see on a lot of Facebook groups and on the few Star Wars news sites I go to, every time there's a new news article about the Han Solo movie, there's a cacophony of why we don't need this movie. Why are they making this movie? This movie shouldn't be made. Blah, 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 blah. I get the sense that when you're involved in when you're in the heart of the online Star Wars community, like I tend to thrive in, there is a lot of that. I was kind of curious, and that's why I was taking the temperature of how do Star Wars fans that don't spend a lot of time on Star Wars news sites, so you don't always see that kind of belly aching, how you guys kind of felt about it, because a lot of what I see about the Han Solo movie is there's trepidation towards somebody else playing him. There's trepidation.
You think it's because of the timing of it? Because a lot of that trepidation came after The Force Awakens?
No. I think a lot of it simply has to do with people just, they don't want the character of Han. Well, part of it is there are some people that literally cannot handle the idea of anybody besides Harrison Ford playing Han Solo. They are so resistant to this movie because they want Harrison Ford to be the only Han Solo ever that a lot of these people, it's despite the fact that they will go see it in the theater, they're so resistant to it because they just can't handle somebody else playing the role.
So, you know, and the whole thing there for me, I've got one sentence for those people. Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This kid that they've got playing Han Solo, until he was rumored to be, because he was cast as Han Solo for a couple of months before they announced him, before they brought him out on stage at, I think it was San Diego Comic-Con. And they officially announced that Alden Ehrenreich would be Han Solo in the spinoff. He was... There were rumors that he had actually been cast for a little bit, but until I saw him on the rumor list, I didn't know who he was. I never heard of him. And then I went and I checked out a couple of his movies, and the movies that I saw, this kid, he's got a screen presence a lot like what young Harrison Ford had, like when you watch stupid shit like American Graffiti and some of the stuff like Witness, which not a good movie, but Harrison Ford is good in it. And then he's also a little bit Jimmy Dean or James Dean, and a little bit, he's got sort of the same swagger, because I saw Hail Caesar and a movie called, was it Beautiful Creatures, where it's sort of this family with all these magical powers. Well, he plays an outsider. He plays just a normal kid in the neighborhood. And he was so good in these parts, playing these two wildly different, very quirky characters. Because I saw Hail Caesar, and then the next day I watched Beautiful Creatures. And at the end of those movies, or after I watched them, I shut them off and I said, I cannot wait to see this kid play Han Solo. This kid is so good. His presence and his charisma just oozes. Like, this kid, I can totally see him as Han Solo. Some people have a problem with the fact he doesn't look like Harrison Ford.
You know what? I think people will get over that.
They will.
I'll give you a good example of how this can be effective. If you look back at Looper, and one of the things they talked about was how Joseph Gordon-Levitt resembled so much Bruce Willis. And it was basically he'd spent time studying his mannerisms to the point where, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt really resembled a young Bruce Willis, and you believe that this character was a younger version of him back in time. So I think if...
I haven't seen that.
It's all right.
Good flick.
Yeah, definitely.
Here's my thing with Han Solo. I've always been a bigger fan. You know, when you're a kid, what do people say? You're either a Luke person or you're a Han person, right? Yeah. So I've always been a bigger fan of Luke. He's always the one I identified with. But I'm also a far bigger fan of Lando Calrissian than I ever was of Han Solo. So even when they announced this movie, I wasn't as invested. Like, I have a feeling a lot of these people screaming about the movie, they're probably the kids that grew up being Han kids, so they're a little more protective, I guess. But my thing is, I want to see what they're going to do with it. And I've got, like Corey, I absolutely trust that the story group inside of Lucasfilm and the people writing and making this movie, they know what they're doing. They're not going to make one of these movies off the cuff. They're not just going to make a throwaway movie. And they're not going to make a movie that they don't think is going to accomplish anything. I mean, if they really thought that Han Solo's story didn't need to be told, I don't think they'd be making this movie. But clearly they have something to say about it.
There's a lot of story to tell. One of my favorite books is the Han Solo trilogy. That pretty much tells his origins of meeting Chewbacca, meeting Jabba the Hutt, meeting Lando and getting the Millennium Falcon from him in a Sabacc game. And I want to see that stuff play out in a movie. I've always wanted to see that since reading those books. And, I know they're going to make changes because they almost have to, especially if they're going to try to squeeze this into one movie.
I do expect some influence from those. We may not see characters, but I do expect that we'll see kind of the same, if not the same events and same characters. We're going to see similar stuff.
Some characters renamed or some character, several characters like combined into one. you know, representative of.
Yeah, and that's cool because I'm sure that we'll see. I'm sure that we'll see Jabba here. I don't see how we couldn't possibly see Jabba. But see, you know what? I've always been a big fan of Lando Calrissian, and I mean, I knew he'd be in the movie, but when they announced that they were casting for him, I was excited. Because for me, Lando has always just been, he's essential to Han Solo's character. If we had only ever gotten Star Wars and there hadn't been any sequels, it would be what it is.
What do you guys think of Donald Glover being cast as Lando Calrissian?
I think it's awesome. I've only ever seen him in, I saw him in The Martian, where he played, you know, kind of the scattered scientist guy. And it was good. And I've seen him in other bit roles. And I saw him on Community, but I didn't think Community was funny. So the couple of characters on there I liked, I kept wishing that, like, him and one of the girls on the show, and now I'm having a brain fart on who the other guy, I kept wishing that those same characters were on a much better show. Because for all intents and purposes, I thought, you know, because people recommended it, oh, you'll love it. No, I didn't. I didn't think it was funny. And I kept wishing that it was so I could see more of them. But I love the idea of him playing Lando. I have a feeling, much like Alden Ehrenreich, they literally, they screen tested thousands of people for Han Solo, or hundreds of people. They wouldn't have picked that kid if they didn't think he could do it, and they wouldn't have picked Donald Glover if he didn't have the perfect chemistry with Alden Ehrenreich. I can't wait to see these two young scoundrels just, you know, roaming around the galaxy. It's going to be nothing but misadventures, you know this. And I can't wait to see them literally flying by the seat of their pants and getting into one tough spot after another. Lando will try to talk his way out of it. Han will. Lando, he'll try to smooth his way out of it. Han will try to
swindle is probably
he'll be the one trying to bullshit, and Lando, he'll be the one trying to charm his way out of it. And cuz, well, look at what Han did in The Force Awakens when those two rival gangs come to collect his money. And he's talking about how he always went through on their deals, and I never would have pulled I would never try to, you know, fuck with you guys. And meanwhile, they're just like, there's nobody left for you to con. And we're gonna see young versions of that, and I can't wait.
And young Chewie.
And you know what? That'll be exciting too, because even though he won't look any different, I'm going to be very curious to see how Chewie plays off these much younger versions of these characters. Because, look, I like seeing him in Revenge of the Sith. I didn't really feel his rapport with Yoda, okay? They didn't have a lot of chemistry. It was a little weird, a little shoehorned, And it's a little bit stupid. So I can't wait to see what they're going to do here. And I know it's just going to make me wish that his friendship with Chewie had been done much better in that other movie.
I'll use a wrestling term here. Chewbacca and Yoda in Revenge of the Sith was what you call fantasy booking. It's like you dug in your toy box and pulled out two figures that never, like, had interaction with each other and said, what if Chewbacca and Yoda had a scene together in this movie? There you go. Oh, Chewbacca, my old friend. At no point did Yoda see Luke on Dagobah and go, by the way, how's Chewbacca doing these days?
Yeah, exactly. It's just so weird. Like, I watched this, and I'm like, and then they, they carry Yoda to this little escape pod that was whatever the fuck sitting in the middle of the forest. I don't know why. I don't know why it was there. And then they throw him. They put him in there, and he's like, "Goodbye, Chewbacca. Goodbye, Tarful." I'm like, "What the fuck?" Are we supposed to believe that he had some sort of diplomatic history with the Wookiee? I don't know. I love Wookiees, and Yoda's great, but yeah, you're right. They reached into the fucking toy box and said, "Hey, what would happen?" They better not do any of that in these movies.
That escape pod lends to the theory that Yoda is somehow related to the E.T. race of aliens in Star Wars, because that ship very much looked like the E.T. phone home.
Yeah, I was going to say there was a lot of a Spielbergian influence there. Well, what are you guys looking forward to in Episode 8? Because Episode 8 right now, even to me, as somebody who's actively on the Star Wars online community, dude, it's a total mystery. I have no idea what the fuck we're going to see from that. What do you guys want to see, though?
I'll go first because mine's easy. I want to see the first ever actual flashback scene. Not a vision or a dream, but an actual flashback. And I don't know if we'll see that in Episode 8, but I'm hopeful that we'll see that this will be like the first ever Star Wars flashback scene.
I think we will, because I didn't see Looper, and I haven't seen anything else that Rian Johnson's ever done. But from what I understand, he's a real visionary, and he does a lot of outside-the-box writing and directing and thinking and sort of doing things that you hadn't seen before. I want to see Episode 8 be a completely different experience for a Star Wars movie, like unlike any of the previous 7 or 8, counting Rogue One. So, and that would be interesting. I would like to see a legitimate flashback. You're right. Something that's
like,
not
like show us Ben killing the other Jedi or something, or you know, or the you know, the rise of the Knights of Ren or something like that. You know, more than just you know them standing in a thunderstorm. I want to see like some carnage.
So funny because some interview a few months ago, they asked J.J. Abrams, "Oh, what do you want to see for a spinoff?" He's like, "How about a movie about the Knights of Ren?" My reaction to that was, how about if the movies show us a reason to give a fuck about the Knights of Ren first? they sort of mentioned them before 7, and then you're right, they show up in that movie. Yeah, they're getting rained on. I'm like, I don't understand. They could turn out to be amazing, or they could just turn out to be scenery chewers. I don't know. I just want to see old Luke kicking some ass.
Side question for you guys. Have you guys seen or worked on any Knights of Ren style customs?
I have seen a couple customs. I have not done my Force Awakens customs to include super articulated First Order Stormtrooper and Captain Phasma.
And I haven't done a Star Wars custom in a couple of years, so at some point, I do want to make a couple of the aliens from Maz Kanata's Pirate Kingdom there. But I have seen a couple customs of the Knights of Ren, but then they were great customs. But you could tell that they definitely used a lot of the concept art, because we just didn't see enough of them in the movie. I do want to see them have a big presence. I want to see him explained, and I want to see him do something badass. And I would like Adam Driver to be a little bit less frickin' whiny, because it's not that he's a bad character, but I can definitely see where he is absolutely Hayden Christensen's grandson. I'm like, just another douchey, super powerful dark side user. Ugh. Not a lot to chew on there. I mean, all right, it was ballsy having him kill his father. That was big. As we saw, neither Anakin or Luke ever could have done that. Anakin would kill indiscriminately. You watch the Clone Wars, he kills a lot of people. And then later, you know, when he's actually Darth Vader, he's going to kill a whole lot more people in much larger numbers at the same time. And then Luke, we saw him kill those guys on the skiff, you know, throw them down to the Sarlacc, but we didn't really see a lot of, yeah, well, this guy, yeah, he's just going to come and literally spear his lightsaber through his father. I'm like, wow, that is really shitty.
Yeah, he gave a nice speech first, you know, about being conflicted. He didn't just outright kill him. So it's like, you know, they kind of just led him up to that point and said, oh, by the way, got your nose. And there it was. all right, so actually, I want to switch gears for a second. I mean, we've been talking about Star Wars a little bit. And I know you guys did a episode recently about, like, the Berlantiverse and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Upset I missed that one, but, you know, because I have been watching, mostly the Berlantiverse, not so much Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm, like, very behind on my DVR. But, you know, the Ghost Rider thing, it's kind of growing on me. But other than, you know, those two shows, or those two groups of shows, I should say, what else have you guys been catching on TV this season in terms of, like, new TV shows? What's caught your eye, or what's, like, something that you really are into? What are you, dare I say, scooping?
My wife and I just finished watching Stranger Things.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
I'm at episode 3 of that, because I just started that, like, the other day, and everyone was like, dude, why are you so late?
I know. It's like I got the same thing from everybody that it's like I talk to on in the groups that I belong to. It's like, why have you not seen this yet? And like, I don't know. I just haven't. So,
well, I saw it back in August, but that's because my sister and her boyfriend, they came over once, and they asked me if I'd seen it. I'm like, no. Then the next time they came over for dinner, like 2 weeks later, they asked me, have you watched it yet? No. So, you know, they said, all right, next time we come over, you had to have watched a little bit of it. I'm like, God, I'm literally going to watch this just to shut them up. I hope it's worth all the hype, because I had seen it online, too, all over Facebook. Oh, Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I'm like, boy, I hope this doesn't suck.
It's got me on the edge of my seat. You know, it's got the suspense, and it's got, I mean, that's thrilling to me.
Yeah, it's good. Like, it took me a week to watch it all, but I'm like, wow, that actually, a lot of TV shows, if they hype them up a lot, like, if I see a lot of hullabaloo about it online, sometimes I kind of avoid it, because I'm afraid that it won't actually be that good, or sometimes, if there's too much hype, it'll just make me not want to watch something. Yeah. That's how I am with Game of Thrones. I've heard nothing but great things. I've heard so much about it, I have no desire to watch it anyways. But I didn't know about Stranger Things. I'm like, you know, if it gets too nostalgic, it'll just seem kind of forced. And if it's not, or I didn't want it to seem like I was afraid it was going to be like a modern show that they put old clothes on. And then I actually watched it, and I'm like, oh, no, there was nothing modern about that. That was straight out of the movies that we grew up on. It was
totally
really good.
It had a very Super 8 feel to it.
Huh?
It had a very Super 8 feel to it.
I didn't see that. Was that good?
It was. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought it was great.
I didn't see that, and I didn't see Cloverfield. So
Cloverfield's kind of Blair Witch with monsters, basically. I mean, you didn't miss much. I didn't think it was bad, but I watched it a second time, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it didn't hold up for a second viewing.
Yeah. Well, Cloverfield was a lot of build-up to a monster. I mean, which was pretty menacing, but it's like you really got more build-up than you got monster.
Yeah.
You know, and what you saw of the monster was immense, but with the camera work and everything, they really made it, you know, they really made it more immense and menacing.
I liked the Blair Witch Project, and then I went to see last month we went to see that the Blair Witch sequel. I like those movies, but that's because I have no expectations, and I'm well aware that it's just going to be people running around screaming and then the camera. I don't like a lot of those movies, but I know what to expect from those, so they're okay.
That's Cloverfield in a nutshell, dude. I mean, I couldn't describe it any more clearly than a bunch of people running around screaming and with the camera shaking.
They
did a lot of like viral marketing pre-release to the movie. That's really in depth and really kind of cool when you start looking back at it. But if you didn't know it was there, you don't know about it, and you don't know. How cool that it actually really was that they did a bunch of this stuff.
It was. It kind of gave you that sense that there was more than a movie, that, you know, behind the movie, that it really was. Even after watching that movie and going back and looking at the sites and the company that was the Japanese seafood company, yes, or something, and then the fishing expedition. It's like it gave you a lot more hope for the monster and for like any kind of sequel. Connected universe, like, oh man, if they do a Cloverfield 2, they're gonna really, or maybe they'll do a Cloverfield prequel or something, and when the monster was born, or Cloverfield from the monster's perspective or something. Like, you got all that hope, and then, you know, you finally got the Cloverfield Lane years later, and it was like,
I didn't see that. I
didn't watch it either. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but by that time, it was like so late. This just became like the old J.J. Abrams in-joke type thing. Like,
But aside from Stranger Things, you know what? I've been sitting down and watching the old Robotech cartoons.
Oh, yeah. They are on Netflix.
On Netflix. I got to give it to... I mean, some of it's just like very soap opera-ish, and it's the love triangle kind of gets old, but... Robotech's got some balls for killing off major characters.
Oh, yeah.
You never saw that in like in G.I. Joe or Transformers, aside from Transformers the movie, that, you know, killing off major characters. You know, Roy Focker got killed off and, you know, partway in. I've kind of lost interest after they jump ahead 15 years to after the Macross saga. And, you know, all the major characters have changed, and I know they do that at least one more time. And it's like you kind of I don't want to say build a rapport with the characters, but you kind of get used to these characters, and then all of a sudden they're gone.
Yeah, it's kind of like transitioning between the lions and the vehicle Voltrons.
Yeah. it pretty much is. I mean, because, you know, the main character in the second saga is the daughter of two of the main characters in the first one, and you can tell the voice actors are still the same, so I mean, it's not like they lost the voice actors or something, so they just changed it. It's interesting that they went that way, but it's not, I kind of lost my interest, I'll say. But the first 30 some odd episodes of the Macross saga, I really enjoyed it. Curious.
Awesome. Hey, Chappie, what about you? Is there anything you've been scooping on TV? TM? I don't know.
So, yeah, I mean, there's no trademark. You're free to say, are you scooping it? so, no, you know, we're in that time of year where, you know, we just had the World Series. The NHL and the NBA has returned, and I'm trying to dip my toe into a couple of new series to watch. I have this problem though that there are real high standards for me, right? There's certain shows that I love, and when I watch a pilot for something else, I go, do I want to invest 10, 12 hours into this? Or do I want to go back and rewatch Fargo seasons 1 and 2? You know, do I want to start this new show, or do I want to go back and, you know, revisit Mad Men or Sopranos, which I know are good?
You know what? I'm the same way. I've started watching Timeless on NBC, and it's good. Week to week shows kind of drive me nuts because at the end of the hour, it's like, well, I'm going to go back and watch it again, but I want to see where it goes. Some shows, I literally will wait until they're on my DVR for 5 or 6 episodes. Just yeah. I don't have to do that. But so I've been watching that. But and the DC shows. But otherwise, a lot of the shows that I'll start watching, like there's a show I saw. I got a couple on my DVR called Pure Genius. I like the concept of it. I haven't decided if I actually want to watch it. So I figure a couple more episodes, and if it's still sitting on the DVR and I haven't watched it yet, they're getting deleted, and that's the end of it.
I feel like that's a show. I remember seeing the trailers for that show, like over the early, late summer, and like during football, they'll show like a little clip of it or something. I feel like I know that was the first episode, but I feel like I've seen the whole concept for the show in that trailer.
Sure.
Yeah. Then there's a show called Bull that I meant to watch, and the other day I saw an episode and there I saw a commercial and they said and then I saw online it's like episode 6. I'm like, huh? Well, I really lost track of that. All right, I guess I'll catch that one later. But a lot of times there are shows that I want to watch, but I'm the same way as Corey. It's like or. I can just turn on Netflix and or Amazon and I can go to my standbys and just go back to binge watching NCIS, which is on Netflix now. So damn excited. So excited. Finally on Netflix. I'm in the midst of season 8 right now. I'll end up just watching The West Wing or NCIS or Fringe or
Prison Break.
No, I've actually never seen that. Oh god damn it. I'm just having a but yeah, you're right. You know these shows are good. There's no guessing with it. It's like you don't necessarily always want. Sometimes I'll sit there and I'll watch a couple episodes. I'm like, alright, I want to watch something I've never seen before. I can't tell you how many times I get one episode into something on Netflix, and I'm like, no, I'm going back to the standbys.
Right.
Because it's funny, because I'm not a big fan of politics in real life, but I tend to like political shows, like The West Wing, Madam Secretary, which, again, I don't watch it on TV. I wait until the seasons are on Netflix. But there's no, sometimes I go back to the old shows and it's sort of it's a standby, it's comfortable. But is there anything you guys are watching that you would actually recommend that I should watch?
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, I saw that. I mean something like.
If you want to see some politics, but it's like, it's politics mixed with the ridiculousness of 24. I would say Designated Survivor with Kiefer Sutherland as the president.
That is so funny. I've been watching right up your alley. And I still completely forgot about it. Why?
Probably right up your alley because, well, first off, it's Jack Bauer as president, which you can't miss that. But he's probably the most disrespected president ever seen on TV because everyone's pretty much telling him, you're only president because you were the designated.
Everybody
you
else bunker. Died. Yeah, because I saw the
dead.
I saw the first few episodes and I liked it enough. Yeah. But then here I am talking my rundown the one I'm watching and I completely forgot about it. I'm like, oh, what does that tell me about my?
I'll tell you what I did with this one that got me hooked on it. I didn't watch the pilot because I think the pilot would have just brought me down. Like, oh, this is depressing. I don't think I want to watch another episode. You know, the pilot is all pretty much the explosion happened and the kids and the family and the changing and everything. I think I saw it from like the third episode. I was like, I got to go back, you know? And you know, from that third episode, he was already getting disrespected, dismissed. he's going to the site where they're digging in the rubble and everyone's just like, hey, Mr. President. And he had to like give a speech and it's like, oh my gosh, he can give speeches. Like this guy's a president in training, which, it's very, coincidental right now, but you know, it's like now, you know, I can go back and go, okay, so this is how we got here. So now I'm all in because, again, I'm waiting for him to go Jack Bauer but he doesn't. He's still Kiefer Sutherland. He's like not even sure if he wants to be president. You know, he's like, I don't know if I want this job or not, but I got to do it anyway. You know, this is like what Jack Bauer was on heroin.
I saw the first couple episodes. I haven't seen the last.
Yeah,
two episodes, but well, that's all right. I'll confess, I've never watched 24.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
It was just the most ridiculous show ever.
Probably should watch it, but I haven't gotten there. Well, I do know for a fact that it's a show, and I've heard from, and sometimes it was a complaint, sometimes it wasn't. They said it's a show you kind of have to pay a lot of attention to.
Yeah.
And honestly, ADD or not, it doesn't matter. The fact is, a lot of times shows, if I can listen to them but not actually have to watch them, sometimes it helps. Like if it's not background noise so much as like if I have my earbuds in and I can just listen to something, then it's relaxing to me. Where sometimes if I have to actually watch a show and can't miss anything, it sort of turns me off because then I have to keep rewinding to watch something. And that means I can't be using my phone or I can't be trying to pay attention to the kids at the same time. Yeah, if I have to dedicate that much attention that basically I have to shut everything else off to appreciate the show, it kind of.
24 might upset guys, because I think what upset me about it, and I've watched all the seasons of it, every episode, big fan of it, but what upset me about it was they accomplished more than a 24-hour day than I could ever imagine ever doing in a week. I'm like, no way, you did all this shit. And every episode's an hour, an actual hour of real time, and I'm like, there is no way this stuff happened in 1 hour. No
way.
Wait
a minute, you mean the show? Like, they have a counter on the show, and it's actually,
yes.
Like...
Yeah,
like
the
this episode.
That's why it's called 24.
Yeah,
no.
Every episode starts,
yes,
that way. The follow-up takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. episode.
Oh, wow. No.
Yeah, events happen in real time.
I honestly figured that 24 was that the whole season would take place over the course of a week or two, but... The 24 more referred to, you'd see roughly 24 hours of, like when you showed the whole story together, the different pieces that were put together, that it might cover about 24 hours in that week long period the show's supposed to take place. I didn't realize that
it is
24. Wow.
Hours. In fact, each season is a day. So, like, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Like,
oh,
in fact,
yeah.
You've seen the 24 box set. It's like, you know, you're.
What the fuck? That's crazy.
Yeah, and each day has, like, this, you know, a major villain and, like, you know, kind of a sub villain. It's amazing how much they crammed into one day. You know, and the guy doesn't sleep. He might get knocked out. I don't think he's ever used the bathroom. He kills at least. people in the double, maybe triple digits in that one day. It's amazing. Presidents are like, you know, step down and take their place. And like, there's all kinds of stuff that happens in the one day of this 24.
Wow.
And, like,
how many presidents were there on the show? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is not consecutive. Like, you know, this isn't like all, you know, days back to back. Like, each day is like a year apart or 2, 3 years apart. But
wow.
Yeah.
I figured kind of like some shows, you'll get to the end of the season, and at some point during the season, they'll tell you that it's roughly been so many months, and so they'll sort of give you a sense of it. And the timeline on the show, they try to pretend that it's about a year, but you realize from beginning to end it was, you know, maybe 6 months. But yeah, I was figuring the 24 just meant that over the course of that whole season... Yeah, you would have seen about 24 hours worth of events, but oh wow! So it's literally
24
day by day. Wow, holy shit,
yeah.
That's crazy. So big body count on that show then?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's kind of why people, Jack Bauer, I think when they doing the, they were doing the Chuck Norris facts or something at the same time, that was a meme. Jack Bauer fact was a meme too, because it was like what's one? Jack Bauer, you know, Jack Bauer doesn't kill time. Jack Bauer tortures it until it's dead or something like that. Like that kind of stupid jokes would be on, you know, the internet. I can't even. Yes, like things like that. Because Jack Bauer was such a badass. Yeah. So I'm glad no one mentioned the MacGyver reboot as one of their favorite shows.
I heard horrible things about it.
I haven't watched it. I, in fact, until somebody said something about it on Facebook, I didn't know there was one.
I think it was Grogan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he mentioned it. Yeah,
he said it was horrible.
I didn't know there was one. And I watch NCIS, but only like every other episode, you know, of the weekly NCIS, you know, it's on my DVR, it'll say, I might see a commercial for it, but otherwise I don't hear anything about it. And I certainly don't know anybody who's watching it.
I watched Bull, and I think I'm only watching it because my friend did an episode. He's an actor in New York City, and I think he shot an episode over the summer, you know, where he appears on it. But it didn't air yet, so I'm like, I've watched this. There are like 4 or 5 episodes now, and his hasn't aired. And he's like, I don't know when it's going to air. Just keep looking.
Oh, so you're watching it every episode, just trying to catch him. That's
just spot him. But you know, I'm kind of into it. It's a procedural, so it's like, okay, this week it's a case. But I didn't know that this was based on Dr. Phil. Like, he's the
interesting
producer. See, and, like, it's based on, I guess, his career before he became Dr. Phil. You know,
that's funny. Guy. Yeah, because I look at it. Well, I wanted to watch it because it's DiNozzo from NCIS playing not DiNozzo. But like I said, I saw a commercial for it, and they said the next episode, and I looked it up. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that show. Let me see how many. Yeah, IMDb. When I looked it up, had like 5 episodes listed. I'm like, I'll wait until the mid-season thing where they're just doing reruns, then I'll try to watch it. Too late to try to catch up yet.
It seems like one of those, I don't think it's one of those shows that has a continuity to it. Like, you know, if you miss episode 4 but catch episode 5, you haven't missed much. It's like one of those old-fashioned crime shows where it's like, this week, the case of the missing such and such. And next week is, it's courtroom drama. So it's like, this week, the case of this.
Well, we're so conditioned now that you just expect it, even on the, you know, that even on the episodes, you know, that don't have an overarching thing, you're afraid to skip an episode if you're watching a season because you're afraid that there might be some long-term arc thing just put in there, you know, like, and yeah, we're so conditioned to watch things in order now that I just sort of assume that everything is going to have an overall thing.
Boy, that's an interesting point too. You know, I mean, I remember watching all these shows when I was a kid: Airwolf, Knight Rider, Dukes of Hazzard. You know, you watched all that stuff. You watched it every week, but it never had any continuity. It didn't matter, you know, because the Duke boys are in trouble again, or you know, they needed Airwolf to go shoot down another helicopter. It didn't matter. It was just the same show, but as a kid, you didn't care. But now the shows these days, it seems like, you miss an episode, you miss a shitload of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only episodes of Dukes of Hazzard that had continuity was when Coy and Vance took over as the new Duke boys.
Right. And same thing with the Airwolf. It's funny you should mention that, because they replaced Jan Michael Vincent in, I think, the 3rd season, I think due to monetary reasons. And, yeah, that was, like, the only continuity thing, because they killed him off and brought in his brother that he'd been looking for. You know, that was his whole thing, is he was looking for his brother, who was a POW in Vietnam. Took me a second to get that there.
The old POW boy. Well, we are winding down. I think this is probably be a good time to start to wrap up. And speaking for Chappie, who you know, may or may not be here.
Yeah, I think he just told me that he had to bail.
Yeah, so I think it's probably a good time to, you know, sort of land the plane, as they say here in podcast talk. You guys, any final words for your fans and listeners out there of General Geekery?
Support your Kickstarters, man. I mean, if you want, we've talked about this before, if you want awesome action figures, support your Kickstarters. The Hellscreamer is doing really well, so that's the one that JD and I are supporting right now.
Oh, by the way, Brian, how's the puppy?
She's doing good. Apparently, she just tried to pee in the house, but my mom's staying with me. She just had back surgery, so I'm babysitting her till she's well enough to be on her own, and she just caught the puppy from peeing in on the floor, so thanks to my mom for that. But she's doing good. She's actually right here in front of me, seeing what I'm doing, because it's bedtime, but puppy's doing good.
Awesome. Well, tell him Spider Dog says hi.
Right on.
She's here spoiled as ever. JD, any last words for the fans and, of General Geekery?
Thanks for listening. Nobody has ever reviewed us on iTunes. That would help. How about just one? Just one of you. Just one of the 15. Please just write a review on General Geekery. Please just put it on iTunes just so I can see one. Just so I can see proof that
somebody listened, you know, to an episode.
I don't want to condone there.
This is a ploy we used to use on the Cold Slither podcast, and I don't want to condone criminal behavior, but if you can't secure someone else's iTunes by means of maybe snatching their iPhone so you can leave that review, go ahead and do that. Because I don't have an iPhone anymore, so I might have to grab like Mrs. Classic's iPad or something, and then go into iTunes and like leave that review. Do that. iTunes software is actually free to pull down. So,
yeah, well, you know what? I don't so much mind. I know there's a lot of podcasts that really like, they'll do feedback episodes, and they're always talking about, oh, here's all the ways you contact us. I don't worry so much about that, because there's a lot of shows I listen to. There might be once that I might send them an email. I'm not so much looking for a lot of feedback. Just once. Yeah, I'd just like to see
definitely. Like, I mean, some of the people that I know that we've wanted to get on the show for, like, customizers that I know people wanted to hear, they've all turned us down recently.
I mean, you know, we got a few, and then we got another one or two lined up, but I'm not so much worried about actually hearing necessarily feedback on the episode, you know, because, I've listened to shows where they're like, oh, you know, if you want to send in your thoughts on this episode, or, you know, I just want to hear.
We're not looking for thoughts on the episode so much as we're like, you know, people that you'd like to see us have on the show, or if you'd like to be on the show.
Yeah,
or
that's the thing is, what we encourage it, but then nobody ever actually says it.
Yeah.
But
is
well,
episode,
you know,
content.
Classic. I know we had you on the old show. We had a crossover with Cold Slither.
Yeah, I remember.
And that's why when we relaunched this, I'm like, I got to get Classic on the show, because, you know, you're still active in the podcasting. And then, Corey, we never got a chance to have you on the other shows, because, but, you know, I was always listening to Under Scoop Fire, and then I said, oh, we got to get Corey on the show, and then, all right, it's my fault, but the shows went away. But that's why when we launched this, I'm like, all right, time to finally get Corey on here, you know? It's like, it's just, and then there's other people I'd like to get on, but so many people, like 20 people in the last couple of weeks we've invited to be on the show, and we get like 3 or 4 people that are like, oh, sure. And everybody else is like, no. And I mean, I understand. One guy said, sorry, I'm not nearly confident enough for that. Nobody would want to hear me talk. And, you know, no. I'm like, all right. It's sort of like public speaking. It's sort of like giving a speech in front of the class. You know, not everybody wants to do that. But
not everyone wants to picture people in their underwear. Or not everyone has that, you know. Or a lot of it is, you know, get into it till you do it.
I'd agree with that. I was kind of the same way when JD's like, first suggested this. He's, you know, because we talk on the phone several hours every week, and it's like, you know, we should record this and put it on the podcast. I'm like, dude, I don't think so. Nobody's gonna fucking listen to that. And
Well, we did, and people did. I only knew because I had done guest spots on a couple of other shows, but it would be like, there was a show I would listen to, and they were talking about, here's a, we're going to have an upcoming episode about such and such show, and we want a guest. And I think I sent in an email, I'm like, oh, I like that show, I'll do it, you know, and it was my first appearance. And then there was a Star Wars show that I was on talking about some ridiculous subject that, just for shits and giggles, I wanted to talk to the host about it. But, and it was only from doing, and then I was briefly on a Star Trek podcast that that they ended up, well, kind of firing me off the show. No, it was simply because at the time we just had the baby, and I told them I didn't have as much availability, and they sort of wanted somebody that they wanted to have people on the show that if they wanted to do a spontaneous episode in the middle of the afternoon that they could just say, oh, drop everything, let's go do an episode. I'm like, I can't do that. They're like, well, we need somebody who can. Oh, well,
who
okay
can do that?
My first thought, don't you people have lives? But okay. So, you know, I had a little bit of experience, but yeah, I told Brian, I'm like, well, why don't we just talk about this stuff, put it on a podcast, people will listen to it. And yeah, he did. In fact, that was his first response was, nobody's going to fucking listen to that. I'm like, well, so what? Let's put it out there anyways. And if nothing else, at least, you know, somebody will enjoy listening to it.
Yeah, do what makes you happy and you'll be surprised at the end. Someone does show up and say, hey, you guys changed my life, or you guys have done something for me. And that's how I approach it. And that's how I know that's how Chappie does. And I applaud you guys for, you know, even after all this time, keeping General Geekery alive and coming back. Probably one of the more exciting pieces of news that I've had all, you know, throughout this year.
This is their third time doing this. So third time's charm. I think it helps that I'm not working overseas anymore, too, so.
Well, you know, a lot of the times when we had the first iteration, that was the thing, is Brian would go out of town, and I'd have guests on, and he'd, you know, just sort of to do the episodes, just to get him out there. And then sometimes it was like, I mean, and I liked having other people on, but sometimes I missed having my regular co-host on, and then there'd be times when he'd come back, but he'd only be back for like a week, and he's like, "Ah, dude, I'm not gonna have time this week to do an episode." And then, and then we tried the second show, and we only had a few episodes because that was again, that's when the baby came along, and it was like, I literally do not have time for this and it wasn't like pressure from Brian or anything. It was just more like, dude, I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to sit down and have 2 hours to talk about stuff. And it also came down to, well, I don't have any money to play with, so, you know, I have no hobby stuff that we can talk about. And it was just sort of, you know, a lot going on. So
yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. So I mean, but we're still able to do it.
But this time we're just sort of, yeah, it helps that Brian, he's not being deployed, and, you know, the baby, he's not even a baby, he's going to be 4 in February, you know, so we've got, you know, so I got more time, and, you know, so we're able to, you know, but,
I said new co-host, you got to have the baby on.
Well,
baby's equal ratings, dude.
It's funny because when I've been doing this, there's only been twice where he's come around. Like, he'll come up the stairs and he'll look at me. He's like, what? It's not because I don't want to have the kid on. It's just, yeah, he's still at that age where he's like, mm-mm. Funny because at his age, he's a little squirrely around people anyways, like crowds and stuff. But there's days where even his grandparents, they'll be like, can we have a hug? He's like,
old podcasts as well as the newer ones. I did an episode of the Chat Report with him, and that was fun. I forgot what we talked about, but we had a hoot, a laugh, or two. And, of course, I've had a good time talking with you guys here. I hope you guys check out 24 and let me know what you think of it.
I will. So, I admit, I miss the Cold Slither podcast. I know Tim's got his own show, and you've got the classic team up, and I remember.
Eclectic still got his own shows, or several shows, actually. But
I think it was on the Chat Report that you mentioned that you miss doing Cold Slither, but everybody's so busy that you can't even line up to do a show anymore.
It's tough, and
I totally understand it, but it was just, you know, it was just one of those shows that was always the first one that, you know, one of the first that I checked out during the week, and then when at the beginning of this episode, when you did the Bob Weep, I can never fucking say it. dude, I was so excited because it was like, flashbacks. Say it again, because I can't ever say it.
All right. Well, Ba Weep, Grana Weep, Mini Ball, which is the universal greeting.
Exactly. I can get the beginning of it, but I can't ever get the rest of it.
And, of course, just so I can shamelessly plug what I'm doing now, I'm behind the scenes on podcasting. I do have my own show, the Classic Team Up, which I put up. Now it's almost every 3 months, although I think the last one I did was 2 weeks ago, and I'm trying to crank out another one pretty soon. But I also run the CSPN, which is the Cold Slither Podcast Network. We've got a ton of podcasts on there. Tim's got his Comic Book Chronicles, which is on there. We have two wrestling shows on there. We have a couple comedy shows, a sports show. So you name it, we've got all kinds of stuff going on over there. Check us out at CSPN Media on Twitter.
Jeez, Brian, there's something I never thought of. I was trying to get on a network of shows. Hey, we might get like three more listeners then.
That's funny. I've never thought about it. CSPN.us is the website. And, of course, I don't know where you guys are going to air this, but when we're recording this, Veterans Day is tomorrow. I want to basically give a shout-out to all the veterans out there. Thank you all for your service, including my parents, my family members, and you guys have served in the military as well.
I
did a couple years in the Army. My dad was a career 23 years in the Army. I did 3 years, and then, because then I met my daughter's mother when I was in the Army, and then I moved back to where my family was from after I got out, because the Army's hard, which, of course, you know it's going to be, but it was just it's an experience, and, you know, you make it through for so long, but, man, if you're not like a fitness machine, it's tough. You know what? I give a shout out to all the veterans too, because definitely. I can't tell you how many times I'll go to a store or I'll go to a restaurant and I'll see people in their uniforms, and they're coming in and they're shopping after their shift is over. They're at a restaurant and you can tell they're on their lunch break, and I'll walk up to them and I'm just, you know, I'll shake their hand. I'm like, thank you for your service, because it matters what these people do. I mean, I was in for a few years, but I never got deployed. I never had to fight. But some of these people do. They lay it all out there and then they thrive on it. And some of them, it's like, it's something I just got to do. And you know, I know a couple of people that from when I was in that they were killed in action while I was still in. And somebody I went to basic training with that I found out a year and a half after basic training ended that she was killed by a roadside bomb in Iraq. Yeah. And then just last year, I found out that a friend of mine from middle school who on the Army base, we lived on the Army base in middle school, his parents were both active duty. In fact, his father was a warrant officer, and his mother was a command officer, like she was uh, like she was in the chain of command for a company, and I found out that he joined, and he died 10 years ago. And it's a hell of a thing to find out these people you knew did pay the ultimate price. They made the ultimate sacrifice. So I'm going to say thank you to all those who have served and are serving and will one day serve.
Yeah, I can't put it any better than that.
Yeah, indeed. Definitely worthy of our honor. And, you know, we definitely appreciate it. So on that note, for these guys who are guests and now are going to be hosts next week on the next episode, this is Classic saying peace out from the General Geekery Podcast.
And good night, folks.
Good night. Sweet dreams.